I want to speak to you this morning just a little bit about miracles. And the word miracle is sometimes used very lightly among us. People will say, oh, it was just a miracle that I made it to work today. Which it probably was not a real miracle. People will say, well, that was just a miracle, when it might just be something that's very minor. And so what that does, it when we exclaim over something that is happening in our life and we call it a miracle, it takes away from the real meaning of the word. And hopefully when we finish today, we will each one be conscious of calling certain things miracles in light of what a miracle really is. We don't want to depreciate a miracle, Amen. A real miracle. So I want to speak now a little bit about true miracles. And what the word says and what even the dictionary says. A true miracle are acts of God that only God can perform. That's a true miracle. Amen. A true miracle is something that is not bound or limited by the laws of matter or the laws of nature. That's a real miracle. A true miracle is supernatural. It is supernatural in whatever age it occurs, because we know there were true miracles in the Word of God. But we believe that God is still a God of miracles in this age. May not be demonstrated in exactly the same way that it was in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. But God still is wanting you and me to experience miracles. A true miracle surpasses all that the human mind can explain. The miracles that are given to us, that we'll name a few just for the foundation. Scientists today tries to explain it in a logical sense. Miracles you cannot explain logically. Miracles you have to simply accept. It is the power of God. It is by God. It is through God. And He is the only one that can change a course of something of nature. So that's what we have to accept, a miracle without human explanation. In my study of miracles, I found there were words in both the Old Testament and the New that would speak of miracles. And there is a word that is used sometimes, and it's called a sign. And what I studied or read in the Bible dictionary was that all miracles are signs of God to demonstrate His great ability. So a presentation of a miracle represents also a sign to you and me, giving us direction, giving us understanding of who God is, of what God is. God is not a man. God is a being that is a spiritual being. He is above all. He is the creator of all. He has all power in heaven and on earth. He does have eyes. He has a nose, He has a mouth, He has ears, he has hands, and he has feet. He is a being. And the scripture tells us that all of those things that you and I have also, the senses, he has those senses. He uses his eyes, he uses his nose, he smells in our assembly. This is who God is. So when he performs miracles, he's doing it to give a sign to you and me that we should have more faith, more confidence, and trust in him. So another word that was used is wonder. That was used in the Word of God, calling the miracles a wonder. Well, a wonder, it affects, it's the effects of the miracles. Sometimes it produces awe, and other times it can produce terror. So that's another word that is used in even the Old and New Testament. Another term is, it is a work. It is a work of God. It speaks of God's acting for mankind. Miracles are not just to be done for no reason at all. It is for mankind. It is for us to believe and have faith and to see and understand. The last word that I read was, it is the power. The power of God is the actual product of a miracle. And it says it emphasizes God's working with his great strength. So those are the four terms that we found were synonyms of miracles. So as we thought upon this word miracle, we had to say that everything that God does or has done, we could say was a miracle. Everything. The way that he created the world, it was a miraculous beginning. It was only spoken in existence by his mouth. No human being could ever speak the existence of anything with his mouth, but our God can. So he is a miracle working God. And as he spoke into existence, and it's marvelous, it's wonderful to read the first of Genesis. It's good for you to take the time and use it as a little Bible study in your home, going over it with your children, reaffirming that God was a creator, that this all did not just happen by the Big Bang theory. The world has other theories of how all of this came into existence, but God spoke it into existence, and it all was set in order, and it still is in order today. Thank the Lord. So we may be in awe of that miracle. This morning there would be no way we could list or name all of the miracles, but we want you to think about some of the miracles. And one of those miracles would be the parting of the Red Sea. There are theories of how that happened, that certain things happened and caused this to part. But you and I will believe it's a miracle of God that he instructed Moses to lift his rod, and upon that obedience, the Red Sea was parted, and the children of Israel went across, and the scripture says, on dry ground. And I seem like I had read one time the number of people that was estimated to have crossed over. The Bible only gives a certain number, but it includes women and children, and we don't know how many those were. So what the scripture says in a scripture, 603,550 men above the age of 20. So that's how many human beings crossed over this miraculous event of parting the sea, and that these people walked over in dry ground. Now, there are those that have studied this, and they have come up with this estimation on the width and the length of this path across the Red Sea. They said it was 9 miles long and 300 feet wide in order for these people to cross over. So that's a miracle. It was a miracle. And I have always believed in it. Haven't you? We've not questioned it. God is able. He produced it. He caused it to happen. And then when they got across, what did he do? He brought the waters back together to defeat the enemy. He destroyed the enemy to the children of Israel. We think of the story of Jonah. Jonah was a man that was called of God and tried to run from God, and yet God used him. And he shows you and me a miracle. That a large fish that was prepared for that purpose swallowed Jonah. That Jonah was able to live inside of the belly of a fish for 3 days is a miracle. It was from God. We have never doubted it, and we don't try to explain it away. We don't try to reason about it. We believe that it happened, don't we? And then we have the three Hebrew children that experienced the miraculous survival of being in a furnace of fire that was heated 7 times hotter than normal. That normally, as was demonstrated at the end of it, that those that were even putting them in was consumed with the fire, yet they survived it. The only thing that was burnt off, according to the word, were the ropes that tied their hands. They came out, their hair was not singed, and their clothing did not have the smell of smoke. You and I can only stand close to a burning fire and get the smell of smoke. But the miracle was also that the fourth man that walked with them in the fire was no doubt the Son of God. And they were called forth. Now, can you imagine the stories they told their children, their grandchildren? It was a story that was wonderful. People were in awe. It was a sign. Because even the king said, I see a fourth man and he looks like the Son of God. So it was a sign. And then he even changed that everyone was to worship this God. So the sign turned his heart. Thank the Lord. So the three Hebrew children experienced a miracle. And we believe that Daniel experienced a miracle. Daniel went to the cave where he was cast into the lion's den. And if I can only imagine, he believed he would be dead in a minute. He believed that this was his end. I believe he thought that. You might have a different thought. You might have a thought, well, God showed him he would shut the lion's mouth. He might have. But whatever the case, whichever way it went, when he was in among the lions, he experienced a miracle. The lions' mouths were closed and did no hurt upon his body. And he came forth. Thank the Lord. New Testament miracles most of the time were proof or evidence of Christ, of Him being the Son of God, of the kingdom of God being brought down into this world, of the Son of God who was fathered by the Holy Spirit was a miracle. Many people do not receive that. But you and I receive it, and we believe it, and we believe He was the Son of God. In Matthew 11 and 3, this is what Jesus said was to be reported back to John the Baptist. As you remember, John the Baptist was a forerunner of Christ, and that he was taken to be martyred. And while he was in prison, he began to have a battle of his mind, and he sent his disciples to Jesus and said, "Are you really the Christ?" And he was the one that proclaimed it. I want to tell you, the enemy will come and trouble our minds sometimes about the truth. So Jesus said this to be reported to him. He said, "The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor." That was his answer. All of that was a miracle. A miracle from God in a different sense. In a different sense, yet demonstrating the power of God. I want to read now John 21 and 25. Just to transition our thoughts into the message this morning. And it says, "There are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." I believe that. I believe that you and I are given just a little skeleton of in the Word of God, of the power of God, of the miracles of God, of the miracles of Christ. We just have a skeleton. That it was so much bigger than this. God is so much bigger than what you and I can hardly take in. He is the Almighty God. Thank the Lord. Now we want to go to Romans, the 15th chapter, and look at verse 4. And we've used this before. We want to continue to use it. I'm in the wrong chapter. 15 and 4. It says, "Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." Now, everything that is written in His Word is written for a purpose. It's not just to fill up the pages. It's written for you and me to learn something, to be inspired. Remember what the Scripture says, that faith cometh by hearing, but hearing by what? The Word of God. We need the Word of God. Amen. We need to study the Word. The Scripture says when we study the Word, we are proving, we're seeing if we're approved unto God. Now, there's a scripture in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and we're going to look at verses 1 and 2. And it says, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Well, that's a definition that we have stood by. It's a little obscure, a little bit hard to grasp, and yet it has substance. We would say it like this. The evidence of things not yet seen. What are you holding before the Lord that has not come to pass yet? Did you know that, and we mentioned it in the message last Sunday of having patience with God, how that you and I will have to do some waiting on the Lord. That faith is not diminished if you and I are waiting on Him. And then in verse 2 of that same chapter, it says, for by it, by what? Faith. By faith, the elders, or those that have gone before us, those that we read about in the Word of God. And in that particular chapter of the 11th chapter, it's called the Heroes of Faith. Every one of those individuals that are recorded there had faith, and miracles were performed in their lives. Impossible things with man, but possible things with God. Thank the Lord. Everyone tasted of those impossible things with man. We don't have time. It's another chapter. Be good for you to study it, read it, run out the references on it, study each one of those and see where the miracles were performed in their lives. But here's what it says in verse 2. For by faith the elders obtained a good report. Now, what was the report? Now, it says over in the Old Testament, who hath believed our report? We have the reports. We have many reports. But I believe that God allows us to have these reports that you and I will believe the report. Now, we have testimonies. And we may look at it and say, well, I believe it. I believe it happened just like that. Do you believe that what happened with this baby in these flights happened exactly as she said? Amen. Yes, we believe it. It was God working. God heard some prayer and He performed it. Thank the Lord. So I believe that all of these reports are for you and me that we may have hope in the things that we have yet to see. There's going to be some things that you're desiring that hasn't really been fulfilled yet. But we wait for the promise. We wait for the fulfillment. And all of those things will come as a result of what? Prayers. Prayers of faith. Thank the Lord. Now I'm going back to the fourth verse of the 11th chapter of Hebrews. And it says this, for by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice, by which he obtained witness of he was righteous, and by it, by his faith, he being dead yet speaketh. Well, all of these people that we're speaking of today are dead. They've gone to their reward. And yet their lives are speaking to future generations. They're speaking to you and me today. They're testifying of the great miracles that God performed, giving you and me hope if we believe. Thank the Lord. Now I'm going to James, the 5th chapter, and verses 16 through 18, I believe. The latter part of verse 16 is a familiar verse, and it's one that I've been quoting to the Lord for some time in my prayers. And it says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. If we dissected this phrase, if we started out and we said, what is fervent? Fervent is something that denotes heat. Fervent, hot. It is a word that I wrote down some definitions here. The Lord really inspired me this week with some of these words. The word fervent means intense in emotion. Now, you and I are emotional beings, and I believe that the Lord hears the cry of our heart. He hears our whisper, the heart's faintest whisper, the song says. He hears us when we cry unto Him. But you and I may come to a battle, a burden, an affliction, where we are going to be more intense with our prayer than just our normal routine of praying, thanking God for our food or thanking God for His blessings and help me, Lord, and help this one and help that one. We may experience a burden that is so intense. If you haven't experienced it yet, I'm going to say expect to before you leave this world. You're going to have a fervent prayer for certain things, certain burdens. And so this says ardent, vehement, passionate. That's all words that denote fervent. Fervent is hot. Ardent is hot. Intense in emotion. I have been studying prayers, and there's a lot of prayers that are written like this in the Bible. And it says, and they cried unto the Lord. Many times it is denoted that an individual has cried unto the Lord. You look up the word cry. This is what you will find. It's to utter sobbing sounds of grief and pain and tears. Do you ever weep before the Lord? Your intense burden is such that you are crying unto the Lord. It also means to beg with tears. It's a loud emotional utterance, an appeal. Those are all things that mean crying unto the Lord. Don't be fooled. There are times that you will pray with intensity. And it is the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous that will avail much. Okay, let's go on with that scripture. Lost my place, sorry. Verse 17. Elias, which was Elijah. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. Elijah was just like you and me. He was living for God. He was a man of God. He was a man that believed in God. He was a man that believed His word. He was a man that had passions just like you and me. He was a man that had faith in God. But listen, he was just a man. We are people. You're a man. You're a woman. It says, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. That's a miracle. Amen. It was an answer to prayer. It was supernatural. He did not do it in his own thoughts. He did it because God commanded him to do it. Now, remember, I've given you these scriptures before. Get a hold of them. The scripture says, command ye the works of my hands. You have the authority. If you belong to God and you're inspired by Him, you must have faith that what you are asking for, that He is able to perform. Believe it. Command the works of His hands. Naturally, we are praying in the will of the Father. We must pray under the inspiration of God. We must pray ordered of the Holy Spirit. But God hears inspired prayers. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. Verse 18 says he prayed again at the end of that time, and heaven gave the rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. So that is a man, and that's how he had faith and was inspired, and it was performed, and it was a miracle of God. Thank the Lord. Now I want to go back and look at a couple of other miracles. This is where the Lord awakened me and gave me a great inspiration for a burden that I had myself. And I'm trusting He can help me to convey it this morning, that you too can be inspired. So I want to go to 2 Kings, the 20th chapter. And by the help of the Lord, we'll not read everything there, but try to paraphrase it. This is about Hezekiah. And Hezekiah was sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah came to him and told him that he was to get his house in order, that he was going to die and not live. Now Hezekiah had a reaction, and I would say it was an intense, fervent, hot, emotional. I believe that he, some way, he was able to turn his face to the wall and cry unto the Lord in this manner. And it will behoove you and me to live like this, that we can say, Lord, you know how I walk. You know how I live. And he said, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And it said he wept sore. Do you feel the emotions that he may have felt? His cry unto the Lord came up before him, and the Lord said, I have heard thy prayer, and I saw thy tears. It is not a bad thing to shed tears before the Lord. The Lord is looking down on the intensity of your burden. He sees what produces that emotion and those tears. And the scripture says that the prophet was not even gone away, and God told him, turn back. I've heard him. I'm going to change it all. This man was sick unto death. He said, I'm going to heal him. He said, you're going to go to the house of the Lord in 3 days, maybe, I think it was. Now, this man probably thought he wouldn't be able to go to the house of the Lord for a long time. He was so sick. You know when you're sick, it takes time to get your strength back? The Lord said, you're going to be in the house of the Lord in 3 days. He said, I'm going to add unto your life 15 years. And then I'm going to deliver thee and thy people from your enemy. Now we're going to talk about a sign, because look at verse 8. This is where we're going to read. I want you to mark this in your Bible. And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, what shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day? Now, Isaiah said, this sign shalt thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he hath spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go backward 10 degrees? And he gave Hezekiah the right to say which he wanted to do. God said, I'm going to give you a sign. It is not always a bad thing to ask God for a sign. Amen. It's okay, but it's not to live by forever. We must not walk by faith. We must walk by faith and not by sight or hearing or feelings. Yet God, in his mercy, he allows you and me to say, Lord, give me a sign. And that's what he did here. And the Lord is so pleased that he said, okay, Hezekiah, I'm going to give you a sign. I'm going to have the sun go forward 10 degrees, or I'm going to have the sun go backward. And this is what Hezekiah said. It is a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees, but let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. Do you believe it?
Yes.
Do you believe it happened?
Yes.
I believe it. And Isaiah, the prophet, cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward by which it had gone down. Now, do you know how much 10 degrees is on a dial? A sundial. 40 minutes. 40 minutes backward. If the sun was about to set and then suddenly it became bright again, everyone saw it. It's a miracle. Now I'm going to connect it up with another miracle. It's in Joshua, the 10th chapter. Oh, the Lord inspired me for a way to pray by seeing what the Lord did for these individuals. And it's recorded for me. I believe the report. The 10th chapter of Joshua. It's wonderful. Didn't it say that miracles would be called wonderful? In this chapter, there were 5 kings that were coming against Gibeon. Gibeon was one of those nations that they dressed themselves in old rags and pretended they had traveled afar and to make peace with the children of Israel because they had heard of the great victories they had had over other cities and destroying other cities. And they were the next city. But they pretended this way. But when you make a vow, you keep it. And so Joshua made a vow with them, we'll not destroy you. You cared so much, you came so far, you're in your ragged clothes, and you have your food is moldy and all. And so he made a vow. God honored it. And Gibeon, 5 kings were coming against Gibeon. And listen what happened. Starting at verse 6. The men of Gibeon, they sent unto Joshua, and they said, don't be slack with thy servants. Come and help us and save us and help us. All of the kings that are dwelt in the mountains are gathered together against us. And Joshua ascended from Gilgal, and all of the people of war with him, and all of the mighty men, and they went suddenly. That's in verse 9. They traveled all night to get there to be a defense for Gibeon, which was really should have been destroyed. But they made a covenant and they're honoring it. They're going to fight for Gibeon. And when they came, all of the enemies, they began to flee before them. And God helped fight that battle and sent hailstones. And more people were killed with hailstones than what were killed by the sword of Israel. Now look at verse 12. And think about this. Joshua and the people had traveled all night, marched all night, did not have any sleep. They fought all day. It's coming evening. Normally, when the sun goes down, the battles stop. Joshua spake unto the Lord. That's a prayer. When you speak to God, you are praying to God. And Joshua spake unto the Lord in the day, and he said, in the sight of all of Israel, he commanded, son, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. This is recorded in a book. This is what was recorded. So the sun stood still in the midst of the heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. Gave them time to defeat their enemy. Oh, this is marvelous. If you're fighting a battle, you can't stop. You need more time. And it says in verse 14, there was no day like that before it or after that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man. God hears us when we cry. He knows the burden of our heart. He knows how intense we may feel, passionate. We may feel emotional about it. Let the tears fall down. He sees it. But what does that mean for you and me? What, you know, the scripture says that there's types and shadows and these things were written for our learning and these things are written for us to apply in our lives. If he did it for them, are you and I going to step out here and say, son, stand still? No. That would be presumptuous. But by faith, you and I can say, Lord, we need time. Give us time that we can defeat the enemy of our soul. Cause the sun to stand still in this battle. I believe he can do it. I believe for a sign, he will take the sun backwards for 10 degrees. I believe that he can take a situation that seems totally hopeless and out of control and go back to a time when it wasn't out of control. Do you believe it?
Yes.
Do you believe that when we make decisions and choices and it's wrong decisions and it's wrong choices that he can take you back?
Yes.
And give you a chance to renew or change? I want to tell you something I read, and I've not ever been a scientific reader of fiction or anything. And I'm going to tell you when I did. It was after Jan died. And after I was home from the hospital and I was by myself, still in a hospital bed, still in a brace, still in a cast, still broken up. And I had a Reader's Digest. You know the Reader's Digest that would have five books in one book, you know? Reader's Digest used to put them out. I don't know. I doubt they do it anymore. And it'd be five stories in this one book. And there was a story that was science fiction, and I read it. And I'm not recommending that by any means. But I'm telling it for the reason that the impact it had on me. It was called The Time Machine. And in this story, there were these people that were wanting to develop a time machine to take time back to a certain time of history and change history. It had to do with Abraham Lincoln being assassinated. When I started reading that and saw the purpose of the book, I went hysterical. I wanted a time machine. I wanted to take time back to the moment that I turned the corner onto 23rd Street. I wanted to change history. God is the only one that can change history. He can take time back 10 degrees. He can cause the sun to stand still and give opportunity to change those decisions that people make that will cost them forever. Do you believe it? Can you go before the Lord now? You believe it? It's not a time machine. We can't go back literally and re-step it all. It can only be recovered by a miracle. By the miracle of God that can change lives. That can redeem souls. That can save to the uttermost. That can change the course of destruction. It's a miracle. But you have to believe. I want to go to James, the 5th chapter. Again, following the other verses. James, the 5th chapter, I'm going to look at 19 and 20. And these verses are just following that verse that said the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. And speaking about a man that had like passions and how he prayed and it came to pass. And verse 19 says, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death. And shall hide a multitude of sins. You carry a burden for the lost. You have some loved ones that you pray for. You have like passions like Jeremiah. You believe you can pray and say, Lord, turn the sun back 10 degrees. Give them another opportunity. Stop the sun. Stand still, sun. And it happens for a day. Do you think that you can pray, Lord, stop time? It's rushing to eternity. I don't believe the clock is going to stop. But I believe God is going to do everything He can. And I am praying in the will of the Father. Because the scripture says He is not willing that any should perish. But that all should come to repentance. Yes. He can stop the sun, folks. Yes. He can turn it back 10 degrees. Through your prayers, the effectual, fervent prayer. Oh, you say, and I've heard it. People say it to me all the time. God's not going to cross a man's will. I know, but you know what Robert told this morning in Sunday school? About an atheist, wasn't it, Robert?
Yes.
Did not believe in God at all. His little children got saved, and his wife got saved. And that man heard those children pray, and God put things in that man's life. It's a miracle. God is a miracle working God. Oh, I'm not looking for the Red Sea to part. I'm not looking for the children of Israel to be in the fire, or Jonah in the whale, or Daniel in the lion's den. I'm not looking for those, but I'm looking for some miracles for our time. Oh, it's a miracle when God takes a man whose heart is hard and softens it. It's a miracle. And it's at the prayers. It's you and me commanding the works of God's hands. Lord, go the limit with me. You've heard me say, when Lauren wasn't saved all of those years, 15 years. And when I finally got saved, never to give up the Lord again, and that was such a burden of my heart. Don't give up praying for your lost loved ones. Don't give up. Brother Souter said, be careful how you pray. God's going to hear your prayers. And He will answer. And I'm saying, Lord, I can't say save him at any cost. My imagination took in things I thought I couldn't stand. But I said it, Lord, go the limit with him. And when it happened as it did, I saw the limit was a high price. And that God used the limit to get to his heart. Does he cross a man's will? He could have decided no. But God knows what to put in our loved ones' lives to soften them. To draw them to himself. To desire to be saved. Are you willing to be an interceder? Are you willing to be an importuner? Let me tell you what importune means. It is to ask or beg persistently. Don't be haphazard in your prayers. The scripture says, pray without ceasing. That's not that you're going to stay on your knees all of the time. But when you go about your business, pray. Cry out to the Lord. Pray against the kingdom of Satan. Pray again. Oh, I've got another scripture the Lord gave me. Because I've been praying against some things. You pray against spirits that have people bound. I just found this morning. 2 Kings 19 and 20, and I'm going to give you the part that he spoke to me. Thus saith the Lord God, that which thou hast prayed to me against, I have heard. So in my prayer, I pray against the spirit of bitterness, the spirit of unforgiveness, I pray against the spirit of hatred and malice. I pray against the spirit. Name it out. Pray against it. He hears us. I'm encouraged this morning. We're going to win the battle. We are on the Lord's side. And He's on our side. Thank the Lord. That's our message this morning. Are you going to be able to go to prayer and say, Lord, cause the sun to stand still for my loved one? Cause the sun to go backward. Take them backward to a time when they made a wrong decision. Give them another chance. Pray for me.